Oh my god, it's so nice to talk to fucking adults. It's so fucking good. Oh my god, and I'm swearing, it's so nice. Oh.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 115 of Sappening Podcast with Sean Smith, that's me, and my good friend Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, your resident Dawson's geek, and it's episodes like this is what you go to Sappening for.
I'm still not 100% happy with it, but I do wish I was in the year 3000. So, yeah, awful pun. Yes, this week's guest is Matt Willis. He's fantastic musician, actor, NHS volunteer. That blew my mind. That was a bit that shocked me. And he's potentially met some of Joe Exotic's tigers, which we mentioned. So, yeah, thanks very much to Matt Willis for coming on. We had a good laugh. He's messaged me a couple of times after. What an interesting chat.
Yeah, he's definitely a man of all traits, and this is an extra cool one for me. I'm very happy about this. But literally, a former king of the jungle, bass extraordinaire, and overall beautiful soul. He's a guy we've wanted on the podcast for a while. He's someone I've grown up with, following him with all his projects from Busted to solo work, randomly see him on the telly every now and again. And we just thought we'd get him on and see what he's up to. Obviously, we've had a lot of love for Busted on this podcast, with Charlie Simpson regularly appearing on the show.
Regularly, like,
yeah,
every 10 minutes. Do you know what? I am sick of how many times we've had to restart these podcasts because Charlie's just wandered in. Leave it, man, Charlie, leave it.
But we're advocates as well of how important that band is for a lot of people growing up, blending that rock and pop mixture. And it's just a lovely insight into a different aspect of their story. And believe me, Matt doesn't hold back one bit.
At one point, I thought I offended him, and I definitely didn't mean to.
No,
so but keep a ear out for that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's just funny and deep throughout the conversation, and we touch on everything from the band's current status to their original breakup and reunion, how he dealt with his time away from music for quite a while, that solo record in 2006, the whole McBusted experience and his relationship with McFly at the moment, and just everything from mental health to a sobriety, being a father, and a beautiful story of his wife, Emma Willis. So it's all going on. I confess my love. I get my nerdy hat on. We have a laugh. It's just classic Sappening with Willis included.
Yes, it is. Yeah, if you've enjoyed any of the 115 episodes we've put out, or if this is your first time listening, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I can't get over this. But yeah, like Morgan said, we've done previous episodes with Charlie, so check them out as well. They're some of our favourite episodes. He appears on a Slam Dunk episode as well, which is good fun.
Well, technically it's Drunk Charlie, and I guess that's a whole different persona in person, really.
It did seem like it. It very much seemed like it. But yeah, if you've enjoyed any of these 115 episodes we've put out so far, please think about checking out patreon.com/sappening. because as a famous supermarket says, every little helps. And yeah, you can help support this podcast and help us carry on making this. So yeah, patreon.com/sapnin. You get to become part of the Sapnin Patreon community, which is one of the greatest things I've ever been involved with. So thank you very much to everybody who's already part of it, been part of it, always considering being part of it.
Yeah, literally, the community is one of our favorite things about doing this podcast. Everyone is wonderful human beings, and you get to meet some lovely friends. There's loads of new content going to be appearing on our Patreon wall exclusively, hopefully on a weekly basis. I've said that now. I've probably done myself in with that. But yeah, everything would help so much. So patreon.com/sapnin. It's literally just me and Sean who make these. There's no extra person that helps with us anything. So it would mean the world. And I know it's a tough time. So if you cannot support us financially, that's cool. You listening to this podcast is more than enough. But please, if you could head over to our social media accounts at sapninpod on Twitter and Instagram, give us a follow, a like, and share all our stuff. That would mean the world as well. Just get it out there. Get it out there.
Yes, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Yes, should we get on with it?
Yes, this is the fantastic Matt Willis from Busted and, well, fame in general. So check this out. It's wonderful.
Not just Busted fame.
Just fame.
Just fame.
Just famous chap. Like.
Nice. I might write that. I haven't made the graphic yet. I might just write Matt Willis. Fame. Just fame. Here he is anyway. Sapnin.
Sapnin.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Sapnin!
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 Yes!
Yes! Yes! Our guest this week is the absolutely fabulous Matt Willis of Busted, acting, as of late, pantomime fame. This is what I want to get into more than anything. But yeah, our guest this week is Matt Willis. So thank you very, very much for giving us your time, Matt.
Oh, no, thanks for having me, man. Thanks very much. You asked me and I immediately said, well, I'm doing fuck all else. So yes, I would love to. Can I just clear one thing up? It wasn't a pantomime. It was a musical of a Christmas
time. I'm gutted.
But because it was on a Christmas time, it's very confused with a pantomime.
I'm sorry. But it wasn't.
It was a very, very, very intelligently written musical, I'll have you know.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. This is the thing. I wanted to say.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, yes, it was.
Good. I'm glad you took that opportunity.
Oh, well, this is the wildest start we've had to one so far, I think.
Yeah,
but no, I was going to ask. No, because I genuinely would get into pantomimes if anybody would offer me one. So, yeah, I was just going to talk about, you know, just on the off chance that Cardiff Theatre would do this.
I know lots and lots and lots of actors, right? I've done musical theatre since I was a kid, right? So I know lots of actors who do panto, and they do it because they earn a shit ton of money for it, because it's like, it's you do four shows a day. It's pretty fucking awful, but you do four shows a day, so you earn proper wedge. So lots of people do it, and I've only really met one person who loves it. Everyone else goes, I fucking hated it.
Oh, wow.
Because you're basically going out to a bunch of, you know, kids who cry or have like spinny things on the top of their head, you know, little lights that flash up, and no one gives a shit what you're doing. And it's and actually what you're doing is pretty awful. Although I love going to watch a panto. I go and watch a panto. I have a fantastic time. So I'm not against it. And to be honest, if I have another year like I've had last year, I'm fucking signing up. I'll be there. I'll be there in stockings or whatever they need me to be in. I'll be there.
I was just trying to get myself a future job because my singing voice is terrible, and I can shout talk, which is perfect for pantomime.
Absolutely,
so I thought,
perfect. You're in.
I thought if we got this chat going now, maybe somebody would go, oh, let's get that Welsh idiot in, because I'm up for it. I'll play anything. At this point, yeah, you've got to have a bad year to do it. I've literally had a bad 5 years, and I'm looking to do it. So there you go.
Wow, this is a unique start, I gotta say, but like, obviously, it's a pleasure to have you on, Matt. How have you been these last few, well, months, almost a year now in a lockdown world? I know you've been doing a lot of homeschooling and everything at home.
Yeah, homeschooling is my life at the moment. I realized I definitely did not miss my calling in life as a teacher, shall we say. I've always thought I'm quite a... apart from a period of my life when I was an absolute drunken, drugged up idiot, most of my life I'm pretty chill. I'm pretty calm, kind of quite a chill kind of guy. Put me in any teaching scenario and I become an absolute fucking dickhead. I'm the worst person to be around. I don't know what happens to me. I'm like, it's 2 + 1. What can't you get about this? You know, when actually I'm a fucking idiot. I don't have a GCSE to my name. And also the other thing that annoys me about it is I get a bit cross about it, but really I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I don't care if I'm good at school or not. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I've done all right. I didn't fucking go to school.
So
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah. It's weird. I don't know what comes over me. So that's my life right now. Sorry, I'm glad I vented that. I feel a bit more, I feel ass off my chest. Now I can be.
That's what we're here for.
Be calm about. Thanks. I feel better. I feel better already.
It's turned into therapy, this. It really has.
So that's my life at the moment. I don't know. It was weird because I was at drama school when the pandemic hit. Because, Busted finished touring in September in 2019. And I'd done a year and a half at a drama school in London. I left after that last term to go and make the record and tour that album. And so I had one more year left at drama school. So I was like, so we finished touring in September and I went straight back into drama school. And then in March, the pandemic happened and I had about 4 weeks left of my course. So that's kind of done. And then since then, I've just been kind of a self-taping out of work actor, which has been, you know, what could be the rest of my life, but we'll see, you know.
Are you auditioning for anything at the moment or sending tapes?
I mean, constantly. I mean, it's kind of, it's kind of like this just part and parcel. Like right now I've got like a little room set up in my house where there's a screen and a ring light, and I get sent scripts and I send them off. Some of them I get through to the next stage. Most of them I don't, you know. We're supposed to be doing, I was supposed to be doing a musical in April, this year, and I'm not sure what's happening with that. I mean, I really want to do it. It's like one of my favorite shows in the world, and I'd love to fucking do it. So if it goes ahead, it's, I've got the part and it's all happening. But I mean, right now, we don't know what's going on. So so I don't know.
Yeah.
Are they all, will they all be, well, they'd have to be socially distanced, I guess. So,
well, I think the idea was everyone was thinking it was going to be all right by then. You know, when we were talking in like October about this show that was happening May next year, they were like, oh, it's fine. Everything will be fine. We'll be totally cool by then. We can hug and snog and everything. But but it, I don't know how well that's looking, you know. So so I don't know. But I signed up to the St. John's Ambulance vaccination team the other day. So I'm now part of that. I start my training next week. So I have to do like, I think I have to do 20 hours online and then 8 hours face to face. And then I go and help people get the vaccine, which is quite exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's so that, amazing.
It should be fucking exciting, right? I mean, they I think they need like 30,000 volunteers, is what they said to the NHS. Wow. What they will get, they're going to supply. So
I didn't even know you could do that. So I'm having a look at that now.
It's amazing. I mean, really, it's like although like I can't actually jab people, I can't vaccinate people because you need two A levels to be able to do that. Apparently, apparently, you could have an A level in woodwork and fucking, you know, whatever, and be able to jab people, but apparently. Apparently, jumping up and down, pulling faces and playing the bass doesn't qualify to be able to jab people in the arm with a potential life-saving vaccine. So so I think all I do is fill out the computer when they arrive and show them where to stand. You know,
see, I love the idea, though, of someone being very nervous to get this injection, go into the room and there's... Is that Matt from Busted? Check me.
That's what's so good about PPEs. I'll be fucking covered in shit. So I'll have a mask on, I'll have glasses on, a visor.
Yeah, true.
No one knows me. I'll be there going, hi. You know, I'm hoping to death someone turns up in Busted merch.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to say, you're going to have about 5,000 Busted fans out claiming that you vaccinated them.
Exactly.
He did me. He definitely did me. And that's it. That's a claim to fame forever. Matt did it. Did he? Because I think he's on the computers. No, he definitely did
it. He definitely did it. My arm fell off. Yeah. He definitely did it.
That's awesome. I didn't even know you could sign up for that. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah, look into it, man. They need people. It's you know, it's you know, I want the world back. Whatever way, shape or form we can do it. I'm like, I'm up for it. I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know? So
well, just see in New Zealand. How it is at the moment, and they're doing gigs.
I know. It makes me so jealous. Like, you know, I was watching the news the other night, and they were showing a picture of them. They were showing some videos of Guernsey, and Guernsey is living a beautiful life. I was like, it's only down the road, fucking Guernsey.
I'd swim here for a gig.
Exactly. Oh, God.
That'd be amazing. But I just don't know how everybody in the UK doesn't see those photos of like New Zealand, Guernsey, Australia and go, right, whatever they fucking did, let's do that now. For Christ's sake, let's get gigs back today.
Exactly. Okay, so we've made some mistakes, you know, I understand that. Let's stop fucking around and do whatever they did and do it right now. Mm.
We need it ASAP.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, but I mean, on a more positive note, and you know, aside from the pandemic world, is it quite a strange feeling for you now getting to look back at stuff and realizing that you're at a point in your life where you have so many different avenues and things going on at the same time? You know, Busted as a band again, you're acting, you're a podcaster, you're just doing all this stuff. Is it quite weird to think how everything's planned out now and you're juggling everything?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? To be honest, I mean, for such a big part of my life, I never thought Busted would ever get back together. I mean, you know, and if you look through interviews, Charlie made it very, very apparent that that would never possibly ever happen, you know. So, but I always wanted it to, you know, I always felt like we had unfinished business, you know, because we never made the album we wanted to make. You know, when I think back to, I was talking to my son about it the other day because my son's, I got him a bass and I'm kind of trying to teach him to play some stuff. I mean, I'm once again, a terrible teacher, but it was, you know, I was kind of talking to him about it and we were kind of listening to the first album and I found it quite hard to listen to, you know, if I'm honest, I found it quite hard to kind of listen to with any kind of I suppose sense of pride is a bad choice of words, because I'm proud of the songs. You know, like Year 3000 is an ace up our sleeve forever. We can play a fucking festival in Papua New Guinea and no one's heard of the band ever, and we play Year 3000 and everyone jumps up and down. You know, it's just a song that will be with us forever. And so I'm very proud of that song, you know. But that first album, I struggled to listen to because it was... you know, it's produced in a certain way. It wasn't the album that we ever really set out to make. And it kind of made us into a band that I don't think any of us realized we were going to be, you know, in a way. Like we really, you know, like when me and James first started writing songs together, we were just writing pop songs. We were writing like, I mean, I don't know if you remember, like BB Mac-esque kind of like pop songs, acoustic guitars, you know, just writing pop music. And then we discovered Blink-182, you know, and they literally overnight changed our life. We bought like the American Pie 2 soundtrack, and that fucking album changed my life. Like it literally did introduce me to a world of music, which I'd never really listened to before. I remember my brother listening to Dookie when I was a kid. It was the first album that I remember that kind of style of music. But like, but really, it really kind of catapulted us into this world. And so we kind of thought we were writing those songs, you know, we were like, we're going to be like this. You know, and that album kind of, and what happened in the, from that year onwards, kind of made us into something slightly different. And don't get me wrong, I still had a fucking fantastic time and I'm very grateful for it. And I love the band and I love what it meant to people. But we never really did, if I'm honest, what we ever intended to do. You know? And even the second record, which was a progression, didn't quite scratch that itch for me, you know, and for Charlie. You know, and I suppose in some ways for James, you know, James was a bit more content with it than me and Charlie, I think. But we didn't really scratch our itch. So the last Busted album we made, we really went, do you know what? Let's make the album that we always wanted to make. And I think we kind of achieved that.
Yeah,
it's, definitely.
It's fantastic. Yeah, I remember when we had Charlie on and we were talking about it, and you could see the passion in his eyes, and it, like, he lit up talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Because I mean, and also the album before, we made an album called Night Driver, which was the first album we made back together. Because when we kind of got back together, to be honest, the reason we broke up is because we all liked different things and we all wanted different things. A musical conflict happened, you know, and like and especially between James and Charlie, there was a big kind of divide in what was happening. And Charlie, you know, found Fightstar, which he loved, and gave him everything he needed. And I never really begrudged him of that, because I saw how at times fucking miserable he was in Busted, you know. So I was in some ways really happy for him to be doing something that made him happy, you know. And and James just couldn't really understand that, because James loved the music and loved the band, didn't understand why Charlie didn't feel as passionately as he did about it, you know. So when we got back together and we made Night Driver, we sat down and we were like, right. And I could kind of see trouble happening. I was like, it's all kind of nice that we're talking again, but as soon as we start writing music, shit's going to go down. You know, I was like, this is going to be fucking problems again. I was like, what can we do? So we basically had discussions about stuff that we love, you know, and James and Charlie both love Bruce Hornsby and like these kind of, and we all love Phil Collins and these kind of like 80s kind of pop sounds that we kind of all kind of grew up with, but still loved and still influenced us. So we really went to town on that. And we made this album called Night Driver, which really kind of encapsulated how we were feeling about music at that moment, which was the only way we could find common ground at that specific moment in time. And that served us really well. I don't know quite how much the fan base loved that record, but I... James and Charlie all loved it, and we did something which we were really proud of, and certain parts of our fan base loved it. But then when it came to the next record, we were like, right, well, we've kind of done that, you know, so we can kind of go any way we want to with this. We can go, you know, so at the time we were like, we worked with, you know, DJ Fresh, we worked with some very different people to try and kind of like go down different roads and see what happened. And everything felt false. Everything felt like we were trying too hard. We were trying to be something else. We wrote all these different styles of songs, you know, like, I know every band fucking says we wrote 100 songs. We didn't write 100 songs. We probably wrote like 5 in each different genre, you know, but like, but really we wrote some songs in different kind of forms, and nothing felt right. And it was like the obvious fucking thing staring us in the face. We're like, why don't we write a fucking unapologetic busted album now that we wished we could have always made. And so we sat down and we started writing these songs. And 90s happened, which was the lead single from that album, because me and Dougie from McFly had wrote a song years ago with that riff. And the song was terrible, but the riff was brilliant. And so we just went, I just phoned Dougie and went, Dougie, can I use that riff? And he was like, fuck yeah. So I was like, great. So we got that riff off my computer and we stuck that on Charlie's computer. And then we wrote 90s within like literally 10 minutes, you know, and like, oh, wow. then we were like, bang, right. Okay. We can write a busted album. And you know what? We were good at that. And it happened. Funnily enough, we were good at writing busted songs, and it happened really quickly and really organically. Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. You know, I loved it so much. You know, and making that record was a real kind of made me feel really proud. You know, when I listen back to that record, everything about it, I love.
How did writing and producing with DJ Fresh come about, and how did it go? Like, I've never kind of been in that world with a producer like that.
It was very different. I mean, to be honest, it was basically, we were kind of looking for different avenues of how to kind of work and how to produce and how to make music, because we wrote everything on acoustic guitar and then took it to a studio and then put drum tracks down and played bass. And, you know, that's kind of how we always did everything. And we were just looking at different ways, because everything we were hearing on the radio wasn't that, you know, and still isn't that, you know. And it's and we were like, right, we're without meaning to, we've kind of become a nostalgic act, and so how do we not be that, you know? Because we were so scared of that, I think, you know. We looked at bands that were nostalgic and we were scared of that. That was a terrifying word to us, which was unwarranted really, but really it was you know, we didn't want to be that. So we were like, fuck man, how do we fucking, you know, keep, you know, up with the kids or whatever, you know? So our record company knew someone was looking for someone to cover a song. I can't remember what the fucking song was, but DJ Fresh was going to produce it. So we went down to meet with him to sing this cover for him to release. And we just got on well with him. He was a really great guy. He was a really fucking cool guy. And we got on really well. We started writing songs and it kind of progressed. And we spent about 2 weeks in his studio in his house. And it was a really fun time. But it just wasn't right. You know, it was really fun. And I think we could have made really interesting music together, but it wasn't busted. You know, it wasn't busted. It could have been great for someone else, but it just wasn't right for us. And in the end, we had to kind of go, guys, we're kidding ourselves here. You know, in fact, I think this is a little bit embarrassing, you know, so in some weird way, for me, it felt a bit awkward and kind of like, okay, this doesn't feel like us, you know, when it just felt weird, you know? So, but we tried loads of different things like that. We worked with different people. We went away. We went to different houses, went to different studios, all to try and get away from the fact that actually what makes busted is me, James and Charlie, you know, which is the essence of it really. Because if you think about it, you know, like if any busted fans are listening, you know, it's the reason busted works is because you couldn't find three more fucking different people in the world, you know, like none of us are like any of us whatsoever. Like, you know, like, yeah. So you wouldn't put three of us together in anything, but for some reason this thing works, you know? So it's, for short periods of time, you know? So, you know, and that ran its course in September in 2019. And it was ready to kind of go, right, okay guys, I love you all, you know, but I think we need to take some time away. And that's also brilliant about Busted now, is because we don't have anything. Like, I think we'll do Busted forever. I really do, you know, and, nice. And it'll be good one of those things that we come together every 3 or 4 years and make a record and tour it and have the most amazing time and then come back to our lives and then go away and do it again, you know, and that's perfectly okay. You know, and I think as long as we treat it like that and we treat it with the respect it deserves, you know, you know, I think, I don't want to get too deep, but, you know, as long as you don't do anything which jeopardizes your soul, I think you can always make it work, you know? And I think that's what it is with Busted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the healthiest ways to run a band, really. I think that's probably the perfect way to be able to just step away and then come back later on. And
yeah, but like, but with what you said as well about the three of you just having, being so different and having different influences, I think, you know, as a Busted fan, that's something that always draws people back, is because as they've grown older, they've seen those different influences than what they've listened to the band first time or music you're currently working on now. But you mentioned really in that beginning and listening back to the first record and what you pick up on now. Charlie's talked a lot in the past about that kind of internal battle about being perceived as a pop versus rock band. You know, you had those kind of pop punk energy, but it was all produced and publicized like you were in a boy band in many ways. Was that something for you that was quite hard? Because, you know, I know you're a massive kind of admirer of punk and the alternative scene and everything like that, but you do enjoy some mainstream music and pop acts and stuff as well. So was it quite weird to, you know, write those songs but be perceived in a different way?
When it first started, I didn't really care. To be honest, when we first got signed and we were doing photo shoots and making videos and there was fucking girls screaming at us and shit, I was like, oh my fucking God. You know, I was like, this is amazing. You know, like, stop complaining. This is fucking brilliant. You know? And I really did feel that for the first kind of year. You know, I kind of was just like, when we first started writing songs, me and James were obsessed by Max Martin, you know, the Swedish songwriter who wrote all the Backstreet Boys songs, all the NSYNC songs, all the Britney songs. And we really studied him. You know, that first album that Busted wrote was really, every song was structured around some kind of Max Martin-esque song. You know, so like we really studied him and really kind of worked out how he wrote songs and how he wrote hooks. You know, and that was really kind of a real part of us. And then it had a massive, you know, obviously Blink-182 and these kind of bands had kind of come into our life, and we were kind of grabbing influence from them as well. So really, I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't against pop in any way. You know, I mean, you know, I obviously, you know, like through my brother and through my my upbringing, I kind of had a love of like, you know, the Sex Pistols and Clash and stuff like that. But that wasn't really what I was about. I was, if anything, so fucking pleased not to be in my hometown and be stuck doing the same old shit that I've been doing my whole life. I was so fucking happy to be doing this incredible shit that I didn't really think about that for the first year. It was only when the second album happened and cracks started to appear within the band that I started to become a bit reflective, self-reflective, and actually look at it and go, well, actually, what do I want? And at the time, I didn't really know. I knew what Charlie didn't want, and I knew what James wanted. But at the time, I was a bit like, I don't really know. I'm kind of happy, you know, like I kind of like doing this. Am I a bit insecure within this band? Yes. You know, that was my biggest problem, I think I felt. I kind of felt like the third wheel. I kind of felt like this weird kind of like, I felt a bit of an insecurity between the three of us. But that was all that was really going on for me. But when I think about if we had stayed together, if we hadn't have broken up when we did, it would have been a catastrophe. You know, it would have been we absolutely should have broke up when we should have. And believe me, like everyone tried to get me and James to stay together. Everyone was like, just, okay, Charlie's going to leave. That's going to be fine. But you and James can still carry on making music. But me and James, when we started this band, went to every fucking record company known to man as the two of us, and no one gave a shit. We put we auditioned Charlie in. 2 weeks later, we signed a fucking massive record deal. so it's like, I understand why this man suddenly worked. You know, we needed a ridiculously talented, handsome front man. You know, and without him, you know, I felt like Busted would have lost something, and it would have been very weird without him. You know, like so it was the right thing to do, and I'm so happy that it kind of came back around the way it does. I have such an incredible relationship with Charlie now. And with James, you know, we just have this, it's a fucking weird relationship, but it's beautiful and brilliant, you know, because we're not like best friends. We're not like, we don't pick up the phone when we need to talk to someone, you know, we're not like that, but we have this, this bond that is unbreakable. And I think that's what happens with anybody in a band, because being in a band is different. It's not like brothers. It's not like friends. It's kind of like being in a fucking... It's kind of like being with a group of your mates from your class forever. You know what I mean? Like it's different relationship. You know, you love them and you care about them, but you know, like it's a very, very strange relationship. And as time has gone on, it's become more and more kind of important to me to kind of keep that up, you know.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful to hear. I mean, you know, especially after all these years that you guys just have that kind of connection now. But looking at Busted, I wanted to kind of get into a few other things as well, because obviously when you and James got back together with McFly to form Muck Busted, you'd been away from music for quite some time. I mean, obviously in 2006 you released a solo album, but in between you obviously had gone into TV and presenting it and all that kind of stuff. For you, was there like any nerves about like getting the band back together, like going back on stage and going from not playing a show in years to playing multiple Wembleys and O2 arenas and just everywhere up and down the nation, really?
Yes. Yeah, I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. But to be honest, also, I kind of, I don't get too dark and deep about it, but, you know, sobriety is a big part of my life, right? And drinking drugs have really fucking ruined my life on multiple occasions. And since not being in a band and not being on tour, I'd managed to sort that out, you know, and I've managed to become a person that I was quite proud of and people wanted to have around, you know, and I had a family and everything. So I was a bit nervous about kind of going, am I strong enough to do this again? You know, like, but then I, you know, then I thought to myself, well, wait, I'm not going on tour with fucking Slayer. I'm going on tour, you know, I'm going on tour with McFly and James Bourne. This is going to be absolutely fine. You know, so it was, but that did come into my head for a little while. And me and my wife talked about it quite a lot, you know, but it was, for me also, I'm not a very talented musician. I have to work really hard. Like, it doesn't come naturally to me. Like when Busted first started, me and James played acoustic guitar. When I met him, I could play Wonderwall. That was it, you know? And then we kind of learned to play Blink songs and Green Day songs and some 41 songs and Busted songs. And that was it, you know, on acoustic guitars. And then we kind of signed a record deal, got Charlie involved. Charlie was fucking so much better than both of us. And they were like, well, one of you's, you can't be the fucking Three Musketeers. One of you's got to, you know, play something else. And so like, Matt, you got to play bass. And I was like, all right, what the fuck is that? You know, so then I had to kind of learn on the fly. So the first album, I had very little to do with that bass playing, you know, and from the second album, I got better, you know, and then we ended. And so in that time, I very rarely played. So leading up to the McBusted tour, I spent 6 months with a bass teacher every fucking day for 3 hours because I had such insecurity about that, that I didn't want to feel that anymore, you know, like, so I really kind of worked my ass off of that. And I still do now, like it's there. I play for half an hour every single day because it stops me feeling like a piece of shit, you know? So, and I think you'll hear that throughout Busted. It's just kind of becoming a bit more, a part of me, but it's not like, I don't have that, like James is insane. Like you put him down in front of a fucking, I don't know, a fucking, if you give him a trumpet, right? He's never played in his life. Within 2 hours, he'll give you something. You know, like he's just like that. He's just fucking talented, ridiculously. And Charlie's the same. Charlie's very, very talented as well. So for me, it was really, I'm not like that. I have to really work. So like before every tour, I start about 2 months before everybody else. And I go and I practice and I learn everything because I hate the idea of walking into the rehearsal room and note bashing or not knowing what I'm doing or being put in that impending nightmare that I have when I wake up in a sweat when I've been put on the stage and told to play a song which I don't know. It's that forever fear that I have, you know. So but I do love it now. I do love playing now. So it's become part of my life.
Yeah. And when you think back of the that whole McBusted tour as well. I mean, in a weird way, do you think it was the perfect gateway to get Busted back together? I mean, I'm sure you and James probably have had offers from like things to try and do something together in the past, but it was doing that with a bunch of friends that you've known for years and McFly, and just having that kind of freedom to have fun, a weird way to get everything back to what it is now.
I mean, it was a really kind of I loved McBusted, and I still do think of it as some of the most fun I've ever had in my life, because it was so unserious and there was nothing, there was so, you know, the word cool never came into any meeting, any conversation, you know, nothing ever like that ever slipped in. It was just all about having a fucking really fun, awesome time. And it happened really organically, you know, like James opened for McFly randomly. James was writing some songs with McFly for their album, and he was on tour. They were on tour, I think, in Manchester in a theater, and he was backstage, and they were like, James, you want to go on and play some songs before we go on? And he was like, all right. So he literally just walked on, not unannounced, and played a song that no one knew.
Ain't that fucking dude
from Busted, but like 10 years older? What song's that? You know, so he did that. He played a song which no one knew, and then he played a Busted album track. I think it was Everything I Knew, I can't remember. But the place went fucking mad, and people filmed it and sent it to me. Like Busted's old manager, who was McFly's manager, sent it to me and went, look at this. And I was like, holy shit, people still care, you know, because I didn't think people cared anymore. We'd had offers in the past, like that fucking show, I can't remember what it was, where they got bands back together, that thing had approached us and all that kind of stuff. I was like, no way, you know, like it just nothing felt right. And then that happened, and they were like, come down, we're playing the O2, come down and say hi. You know, and so I was like, all right. So I went back, and I hadn't seen these guys for years, you know. So I went back. I obviously knew McFly and my friends. I obviously kept in contact with James, but not management and kind of like promoters and agents and shit. I haven't seen these people for years. And I got there, and there was a definite like, like when I was there, like I could feel like people were very pleased to see me. And I was like, something's going on here, you know? And then James went on and did the same thing again. And I sat in the crowd and watched the fucking reaction. And he played the same album track. That is a first album track, you know, like it wasn't a single. He didn't play Year 3000. And the place erupted. The place went absolutely fucking mental. I mean, and James looked, you know, just like he walked out of bed, you know, just walked on stage. He wasn't like looking like a pop star or anything. And it was just, it was quite an amazing experience. And I was like, wow, you know, there's something in this, you know, but Charlie's never going to do it again. And I don't want to do it without him. I just don't. I don't want to do Busted without Charlie Simpson, you know? So, I was like, you know, there was talk at times, maybe we can replace him. Maybe we can find someone from another band to kind of step in. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Busted is Busted because it's the three of us, you know, and that's why we broke up in the first place, because otherwise we would have just replaced him then. But so they were like, well, what if you kind of go on tour with McFly and you kind of play each other's songs? And like, so you kind of go on and you play some Busted songs, and then McFly plays some songs, and they kind of become your backing band to play some Busted songs. I was like, oh, that sounds kind of fun. I'll play a few shows like that. That sounds a laugh. So then we went on stage with them, and we played two songs at their Royal Albert Hall show. And it was just fucking magic. It just felt incredible. And it just really was like, it's making the hairs of my arms stand up. It was really one of those moments that I felt like, it felt fucking incredible. And also that anybody gave a shit still was the most amazing thing to me, because I hadn't done this for 10 years, you know, whatever, you know, 7 years or something. So it was incredible. And from then we walked off stage. And they were like, okay, so 24 arenas, going to be a blah, 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 blah. I was like, what the fuck? You know, and also, like, and we hadn't called it anything. And basically the lighting guy, just before we went on, because we were going to go on and play these songs, and kind of me and James were going to come on with McFly, had just put on Muck and then busted there because that's the number of lights they had at the back that they could spell. So they just put muck and then busted back. And so suddenly that was our name, you know, and it just fucking went crazy. I mean, and the first tour was the most insane thing ever. And because it sold out, we had a bit of cash. We could really spend some wedge on production and kind of do everything we ever wanted to do. It was just a really amazing experience. I loved it. You know, I really had the most amazing time.
Well, yeah, you got to literally get a DeLorean for that tour. I was gobsmacked by that.
Yeah, we've still got that. That's in storage. That cost me fucking £400 a month. That fucking DeLorean.
What?
No, it's not that much. It cost me, I still get bills from this fucking storage company because we've got a DeLorean that we don't know what to do with. That is, it's not a real DeLorean. It's made of wood, but like it's in storage somewhere just in case, you know, we need to do it again. So it's in storage somewhere. So if anyone wants to buy it, it's available for sale through, Approach Me. But yes, yeah, so it was a really amazing thing.
Yeah. Wow.
I went to that tour. It was it was fantastic. Yeah, it was a good laugh.
You came to the tour?
Yeah. Jason Perry sorted me out. Jason Perry sorted me out with Tom. It was good. It's a good day.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to brag, but I saw you three times when in my bested. So
yes, we go. we're having a Willis off, are we? Who likes that more? What's this?
Unbelievable. Well, I win because my first gig was busted. So, I mean,
Your first show was busted? Wow.
Newport Centre, like 2004, it must have been.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Something like that.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, really, Matt, Morgan owes you everything he's got now.
Technically. In a way. Exactly. In a way. Yeah.
It's a DeLorean in storage with your name on it.
Oof, I think that my favourite film was Back to the Future as well, so count me in on that.
That's a doubler for Morgan. That's two of his favourite things. That's amazing.
But speaking of music as well, I mean, I've got to mention that solo album you did back in 2006.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was the one-off, but like, have you had any inklings to do anything like that again? Has there been any little side projects that haven't come to fruition?
I've done two other bands in the last kind of 15 years that haven't quite been right. You know, we've kind of got to rehearsals, we've wrote some songs, I've made some demos. I've wanted to make a little thrashy punk band my entire life, you know, like I want to be in Turnstile so much. It's ridiculous, you know, but it's just not me. I can't do it, you know, and I've tried, and I've wrote different songs and I've wrote different styles and I've done different things. And I've thought about another solo record. You know, the thing is with that solo record, I've actually listened to it recently. I haven't listened to that for years. And someone sent me a YouTube clip of some quite emotional video. And one of the songs from that called Who You Gonna Run To is in the background of it. And I was like, wow, that's a fucking great song. I can't believe I forgot about that song. So I went back and listened to that album. And it's funny to listen to because if I'm honest, it was a really, it was kind of the height of my addiction was that moment and that album and what happened during the making, release and touring of that album. And just after the failure of the album, you know, came a real kind of like, it's all quite a dark cloud in my life. So I find it quite hard to think about it and in any other way than that, in a horrible way. But hearing that one song, I mean, that song, like Imogen Heap sung backing vocals for me, you know, it was such an amazing experience, you know. And also making it, I mean, we all know Jason Perry, was such a joyous experience, like becoming a friend of his and now having him in my life because of that record making experience. And also him really being such an important part of me becoming not a complete and utter wreckhead. You know, like, he was such a really strong person for me and kind of a good influence on my life. Yeah, he's such a solid bloke. He's such an incredible man. So it was, and you know, and that's, and the album is fun, you know, and I listened to it and it was kind of, it's just a bit lost because I didn't really know what to do. Basically, Busted had broken up and they were, and the record company were like, don't worry, you're going to be Robbie Williams. I was like, oh, am I? Okay, thanks, brilliant. You know, so, we, you know, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't fucking know. I was in Busted 10 minutes ago. You know, so, so you know, they kind of set me up with loads of people and loads of writers and loads of kind of producers and sent me off all over the place to these big people who wrote humongous songs for loads of people and kind of sat me down in a room to write songs, and it all went really well, but I just wanted friends, you know. I just wanted to be in a band again and kind of be in that. I just really needed that. And then I met Jason Perry and he was everything I needed, and we made this album together, you know, and it was a beautiful experience. And so I have thought about maybe doing that again one day. Ooh, but I don't know. Not right now. Not right now. One day.
Yeah, but I think we'd all love to see you in a punk band, though, at some point.
Well, I was about to say, if you're ever looking for somebody to just yell in a stupid Welsh accent over it.
Fantastic. Hello? Brilliant. I'll sing. You
can
shout.
I am in.
Yeah. I've talked about it with our drummer, Eddie Frower, quite a lot as well, because me and Eddie would love to do something. So we're on the lookout for a guitar player. You know, and so if you know of anyone or anyone's listening, get in touch, slip into my DMs, and maybe we can do some shit, you know. Who knows?
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. we'll have to edit that bit out when he's asking for DMs. It's going to be a load of goths to listen to this going, I am in. you mentioned like Turnstile and stuff. I was just wondering, what are the bands of kind of now that you're into, or what you've listened to lately, or what's upset you?
Honestly, I don't fucking listen to anything anymore. Really, at the moment, like, I only listen to music in the gym, and I'd say 95% of that is Rage Against the Machine. Because it's the best thing to train to. And I listen to podcasts, you know, so I'm very kind of like, since in the last 3 years, I've been so out of the fucking scene or out of the music world. I kind of feel very, I have no knowledge of new music, you know, and so I'd love to find some new stuff. So if you can recommend anybody, I'd love to hear them. Send me some stuff.
Where to start? We'll do after this.
In all that as well, a couple of things I did want to ask is, on this podcast from time to time, right, we found out some very strange rumors that our guests have been involved in over the years. I'm sure with everything from tabloids to blogs and Twitter and everything, you've experienced some wild rumors about yourself. Has anything come to mind where you've looked at and just gone, how that, where's that come from? Sean once had a glass eye
Apparently I've got a glass eye.
Oh really?
So you'd think if I move quickly right they would spin away, but no, it stays.
Now apparently I've got quite a few other children that I don't know of, and I've never met the person.
Here's one today.
Welcome
to the podcast.
There was quite a few rumours of me fathering children around the world. Isn't true.
Yeah,
I was always too drunk.
Yeah,
you know. So it just wasn't a possibility.
Fair.
So that was always quite funny. Any other funny rumours? Oh God, I don't know.
I mean, you can make one up about yourself now as well if you'd want to. I mean,
somebody once claimed I had a fake hip as well. I don't know why it's fake things with me.
A fake hip and a fake eye. Wow,
it's broken.
Just faking it. Just
no. I mean, to be honest, like I've had a lot of tabloid stuff about me, and most of it was true. unfortunately. So whenever I read something, I was like, oh yeah, shit, yeah, that's true. Fair play.
It didn't quite go that well. So they've done new
exactly. Exactly.
What was a moment for you when you were in Busted where you just looked about and you were like, "What the fuck? How is this happening?" Or when a moment you met somebody or hung out with somebody that you were amazed by, like the first one you were like, "I can't believe this is going on." Have you got a moment like that?
I've got a couple. Glastonbury was the moment for me. Like, I mean, to be honest, when we got announced for Glastonbury, it was such a big deal because it's such a kind of, you know, there's such a thing about Glastonbury, isn't there? Like, it's like people like us don't play Glastonbury, you know, like, or even go, you know, so it's such a thing, isn't it? You know, so to be offered to play was incredible. And then we were playing a tent, which was like 3,500 people, I think, in the tent. And I found out that Jeremy Corbyn was on the main stage at the same time. So I was like, fuck. You know, so we're going to play to a fucking dead tent, you know, so I was so pissed off about it, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going to have the best fucking time, you know, so my wife was there, you know, some friends were there, and about 45 minutes before we went on, they kind of came and they went, guys, we've had to shut the field. And I was like, what? And they went like, they went, it's chaos. Like it's too full. We've had to shut the entrance and shut the whole field off. And I was like, what? You know, and then I kind of, and someone showed me some pictures of what was happening just before we went on. And so there's the tent, which is, 3,500 people. And then there's a field outside where people could kind of like accumulate, and there was bars and restaurants and stuff. And there was over 10,000 people outside the tent. So it was like, so they put speakers out there. They made it a big thing. And I just, and it just, I just couldn't get over it. And it was like, it was just one of those gigs that will forever go down in my life as being such a joyous affair. And I remember like, literally, like at one point, like we never do this, but me, James and Charlie hugged, you know, in the middle of the, like towards the end of the set, we just looked at each other and we just had a big joint hug as if to say, fucking look, boys, you know, like, you know, like who would have fucking thought that, you know, not let alone we'd be back together, let alone we'd be friends again. And this is happening. It was just really one of those amazing things, you know, and Slam Dunk happened for me, which I was really worried about. I was really terrified of that. You know, I was like, we're going to get fucking piss thrown at us. It's going to be, you know, and it was the complete opposite. It went off, you know, and I think some rumors had happened that it might possibly be us, but it was such an amazing first gig. And the second gig was just incredible. Like it was the most amazing atmosphere. And the way we play Busted tracks now feels like that. Like it feels like it fits in that kind of festival. Like our live band now is very much the live band we want to be, you know. So it's and I think it's the band that Busted fans want to hear, you know. That is, so it's it was a really most amazing feeling. And I'm gonna make one that is a bit sentimental and a bit lame, but I'm sorry. But yeah, the night I first hung out with my wife was in Miami at the MTV Music Awards, and she'd interviewed Busted on TRL in like 2003 or something, and like in like early 2004 we were over shooting in America, and the MTV Music Awards were there. We're walking down a red carpet, no one knew who the fuck we were, so we're walking down there, suddenly we heard Busted. I looked over and it was the Fit Girl from MTV. And I was like, oh my God, guys, go. They were like, come on, let's just go straight in. I was like, please. So I dragged them over to talk to Emma. Because I was obsessed with her, you know, and it just so happened that the people that we were with knew the crew that she was with. So we were like, they were like, what are you doing later? And so they knew. And so in the end, we hung out and we had this one night in Miami at the MTV Music Awards at like fucking, you know, Pharrell Williams's party, where there was like, you know, I mean, I'm going to sound like a pretentious dickhead, but there was actual white tigers chained up as you entered the fucking party. Like, it was ridiculous, and like dancing girls with snakes and stuff. Like, it was the most insane party ever. But and me and Emma just had this amazing night together where we just hung out and got to know each other, and that kind of became, a while later, our relationship, which ended up being, now we're married, we got three kids, and it's kind of so it was this one, you know, and it was one yeah. moment in, yeah, it was a really awesome moment in my life.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Very, very good. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, just a quick nip back to those tigers. That means Joe, I'm thinking Joe Exotic might have been there with those tigers.
I mean, he very well could be.
Whoa, oh, you might be in the present. I know Pharrell's pretty impressive, but the Tiger King, that's one of 2020's upcoming stars, breakthrough stars, Joe Exotic. That's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful story. Obviously so beautiful. But Matt, just two very quick things now before we let you go. I mean, obviously, you know, you're very open about your sobriety and mental health, and you're very vocal about kind of breaking that stigma for men, especially with mental health issues and not talking about it. But I was just wondering if there was anything of like advice of wisdom or anything you could share for those maybe listening who are going through a rough time with all this and find it hard to cope with stuff and talk a bit more.
Yeah, man. I mean, the thing is, I'm part of a, I'm part of a community of people that if I was a member, I'm not really supposed to say I am, but there is an anonymous group of people that if you have a problem with drink or drugs or anything and you Google it, it'll pretty much be the first thing that comes up. It's an anonymous group, and that's for a certain reason. I don't want to get into the details of that, but there's a reason why it's anonymous.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm quite vocal about it. It saved my life, and it's something which I feel very passionately about. It's so hard because if you think you have a problem, you very likely do. You know, and in which capacity that is different, because I know people like Charlie Simpson who can drink like a fucking machine, but he's not an alcoholic, you know, and I know other people who can do copious amounts of drugs and are not drug addicts. I can't do either of those things because I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict, you know. So there are different levels, I think, and different ways people cope. And I think especially right now, there's such a level of loneliness that is happening right now, which I can't really comprehend, you know, which must be so difficult and so hard, you know. And the biggest thing I can say is, if you are listening to this, right, first of all, if you're the person that is suffering, there are so many people you can reach out to. If you just go online, there's Samaritans, there's all these kind of things that you can talk to. You're never alone. But more importantly, if you think you may know someone who is potentially suffering in any way or potentially down or sad or any way, you can really reach out to them, and I implore you to, because you know it really can save a life. Picking up the phone and asking someone how they are and not allowing them to fucking lie to you is a big thing, you know. Like I reach out to people as much as I possibly can, and people reach out to me because they're worried about me, you know, which I find beautiful, and I'm never offended by it because I have a history, you know. So when I get a text, I had a text just before this from somebody who I know and I love, who just said, "Hey man, just checking in, how you doing?" And that's the kind of thing that I think we all as people can do, and it's such an easy thing to do, and it's such an easy thing to connect, and just, you know, and I think the stigma is slightly going, but there is something about masculinity and about it not being okay to talk about how you feel, or maybe lying about it, you know, or trying to act like, you know, you should be strong, you should be, you know, you shouldn't feel this way, when actually everybody does, and everybody goes through shit, and everybody feels down, everybody struggles, and talking about it and hearing about, and even the thing is that sometimes I have to really stop myself from giving advice, because that's not what is always needed. Sometimes you just need to listen. And sometimes some people just need to talk, you know, because there's professionals who can give advice. I'm not one of those professionals. If you come to me with a drink or drug problem, I know quite a bit about that. I can maybe help you. If it's a mental health problem, I can listen and I can point you in a direction. And I think all I'm saying is if you think you know someone, if you think you might think somebody might need some help, or you haven't heard from somebody for a while, or they've gone a bit quiet, fucking give them a call, drop them a text, FaceTime them, get in their face, you know, because people need human contact, need love.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for that. That was
it's nice.
It was very, very nice. And just to flip it on the other side, final question from me. Going back to your time as King of the Jungle in I'm a Celebrity, you had to eat a crocodile penis and a kangaroo's anus. So wanted to know, how did they taste, and if you wanted one since?
It's a once a week thing now for me.
Okay.
You know, they're quite hard, you know, because of Brexit, they've become quite hard to get hold of. But I haven't had anything like that since. But you know, well, who knows? Who fucking knows?
Yeah. No urge to pop a croc cock in. I just fancy a croc cock.
Not right now. Not right now.
No.
Well, it's early. It's early. It's not even dinner time yet. You know. Before you go. We should definitely talk about it. When no one's watching the podcast.
Yes.
What a brilliant idea. What a great idea.
Oh, thanks.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we're just about to, we're just launching season two now. We kind of, me and my friend Matt Richardson, who's a comic, we do a podcast called When No One's Watching. And it's about the shit that people go up to when no one's watching, the guilty pleasures that people like. I mean, and we have had all sorts. I mean, from kind of spot popping to fucking, you know, to taking all your clothes off to have a poo. That's quite common, apparently.
Actual
thing, you know, to collecting your menstrual blood and feeding it to your plants. I mean, we've had an awful lot of things that have come out in this podcast, and everyone has these little things that they do when no one's watching, you know, like I rehearse conversations I'm gonna have with people before I have them, and I go over previous ones that I've had that I wish I'd said different things to in front of the mirror. I only realized that the other day when we were talking. I was like, oh shit, I do this as well. But you know, when we first started the podcast, I was like, I don't really have many of these things, and every week I'm like, oh, actually, and I also do this fucking weird thing, you know. So it's really funny. It's lighthearted. It's perfect, really, in lockdown, I think, because you know, it's just there's no serious tone to it. We just have a laugh. We take the piss, but we take the piss in a loving way, and people open up and own up to their shame, and we get to judge them accordingly. Season two starts. Like this week, and the first episode is busted. So I have busted together for the first episode, which I'm very fucking excited about, and it's a really good episode.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, I kind of want the inside now. I was going to ask what happens, but it literally spoils the episode. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for doing this.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you, man. Great to see you.
Guys.
And I'm just excited for everything.
Thanks so much, guys. Really good chat.
You're listening to Sabin Podcast!
Yes! Oh, I loved it. I love that man. He's wonderful. What a great conversation.
Yes, what a lovely, lovely chap. I did reach out a while ago, and I don't think he saw it in his DMs. And then on the Charlie one, I told Charlie to give him a prod. I don't think he did. but then Matt eventually saw the message, got in touch, and then, it took like 2 weeks to sort out. So thank you very much to Matt for coming on. We had a good time. He's messaged me since then saying he had a great time, and he is looking for some sort of rock guitarist.
Yeah.
So
That was was interesting. I'd love to see him in like a gothic punk rock band or anything like that. He's got the look for it, for one, and he's got a great voice. So I think it's just a recipe for success.
I wonder what Willis's like crazy screaming voice is like. I wonder if he's got like a mad. Ooh. Imagine what that would sound like. I'm just imagining it. Like, everybody just stop for a second. Just.
Nice. But yeah, thank you so much, Matt. A pleasure. I mean, just hearing him give support about mental health as well and doing everything with the NHS in these wild times is an accomplishment on its own. And it's a small world of how many people Jason Perry, our good friend and wonderful producer, frontman of A, has helped along the way, isn't it, Sean?
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely nuts, really, because he's helped more people, and I think he realises as well. And yeah, I love him very much. Thank you very much to Jason for existing, as always. And Matt Willis's new podcast is out. When No One Is Watching. Season 2 started February the 2nd, which was a couple of days ago. So check that out. It's very funny. It's an episode with Busted as well, so tidy.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else comes from the Willis camp in the future. I think it would be interesting to see him revisit that solo work as well. But I'm going to put it out there now, Sean. So we've had 2/3 of Busted. We've had Charlie on multiple times. This is the Matt episode.
Yeah.
James Bourne is definitely listening to this, as he always does, because why wouldn't he?
Of course he does. Of course he does.
You're invited, James. James, come on. You're invited on. We're just waiting for you to get in touch. Let's have a laugh. It'll be great.
Yes. Yes, we will. Come on, James. 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 Let's just get a chant going until he comes on. James. 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 Oh, no. I just sort of keep going.
All right.
So next week's episode will just be us chanting James. And then a week after, until he says yes. And then...
That's true.
But I think we'd annoy enough people who subscribe to our podcast with that they'd finally get in touch with James and be like, please go on a podcast.
Yeah, that's a good shot. But I was also going to tell people to please tweet and message Emma Willis.
Nice.
Because I think she'd be a fantastic guest.
Yes, she would. Yes, she would.
Let's
she
just could make tell it us, happen.
Yeah, she could tell us if she saw Joe Exotic in that party in LA.
Ooh, that would
he
be...
He must have been there. He got to be. If there's lions and tigers or whatever was at that party... Surely it's Big Joe supplying
like
them.
So that would have been like 2003, 2004 time. It's Prime Joe. He's out there hanging out with people, supplying the Tigers. I mean, in a mad, Busted, Tiger King and Pharrell. That's a party we'd all love to have a look at.
Yeah, what a strange combination.
You'd never put them three together, yeah, would you?
Together at last. What?
Oh, but Sean, I do believe today is Band Camp Friday, for those
yes,
who don't
is.
Know.
Well remembered, thank
that
you.
That is a... Well, tell us all about it, Sean. Tell us all about it.
Sean, hey, Sean, Band Camp expert. Hi, guys, I'm Sean, and I'm a Band Camp expert. Band Camp Friday is the first Friday of every month through the pandemic. Band Camp have waived their fees and... stop taking a percentage off the top from artists just for this one day. So today, if is any chance you haven't heard my band Raiders, please visit raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com and check out the music. And if you've ever thought about buying music, that's mad, isn't it? Have you ever thought about buying music? Check out raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. So we got 4 songs out at the moment. We've just had a remix back from a friend of mine, which is nuts. It's a crazy drum and bass remix. And we have one song coming out in the future when we get to record a video, when we're all ungrounded. Yeah, check it out, raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com. Thank you very much.
Nice. Yeah, well, it is a time where all like artistic and creative people need that support, and Bandcamp Friday is a great place for that, especially supporting bands who are... you're unsigned and everything like that. But speaking of support, I mean, you are listening to this, so I guess you are already a supporter of Sapling Podcast. But if you'd like to, you know, help us out a little bit more, make sure you are subscribing wherever you listen to this podcast. If you have an iPhone, go on to Apple Podcasts and leave a comment and a nice review. And follow us on our social media pages at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. But most importantly, we would love you to go and check out patreon.com/Sapling to give a little bit back to the podcast, join a wonderful community and get some mad goodies in between.
Yes, please do. Yeah, this has been a fantastic episode. I've enjoyed Matt very, very much. And yes, see everybody next week, I guess.
Well, we will, but before that, if you head to the description of this episode, there's loads of names, Sean, that we need to thank, because there's beautiful, beautiful people help make this podcast happen.
I don't... Whoa. You can't say beautiful people anymore. He's ruined it. Anyway.
So, but anyway, there's loads of names we need to thank. Yes. And Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community. They've probably changed their names to something funny to have a laugh at our expense, but we'll find out now.
I don't know.
Let's have a laugh, Sean.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young, Lord Dilly, Spice Drummington of Barefoot, Nathan Croshaw, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Dana Lasnova, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Lord Tom, Lucas Edington of Vans, Amandine Urbano, Tony Michael, The Real Slim Shani, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Lord Scott, Tetley Teton of Adidas, Bert, Dan Gies, thank you very much, he's new Patreon member, Dan Gies.
Woo!
Woohoo! Welcome to the gang, sorry. Thank you very much to Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Erin Howard, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, John and Emma, Becky Andy, Jenny Robinson, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Jason Oredia, Lord Craig Coffeyton of RST Boots Harris, Caroline Robinson, Sandra Kuacek, Kelly Cannon, James McNaught, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Sharif Awadali, Chris Howard, Lord Ollie Squashington of Vans, Katrina Wilma Dickfit or Wilma Fingerdoo Robinson, Lord Jacob Rumton of Hummel, Josh, did you hear about an explosion at the Cheese Factory? No one died, but there was debris everywhere. Chris, good Lord. Alice Wood, Adam Parslow, and thank you very, very, very much to those people. You are saints.
Yes, we love every single one of you. You help make this thing happen. And yeah, we literally couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much to everyone involved at patreon.com/Sapnin. If you're still listening to this, you're not a part of the group. Thank you, but please go and check it out. And just before we round this week's episode up, Sean, is there anything else you would like to mention? Any funny stories or anything to leave on a lightheartedly on?
Oh, yeah, I did a podcast called Insane in the Membrane with comedian Rich Wilson, which was really fun and really interesting. So, yeah, check that out if you've got an hour spare after you've listened to this crazy nonsense, which is content and nonsense. Other than that, nothing I can think of. Was there anything else I was meant to remember?
We did a podcast together as well called Another Goddamn Fangirl, which you could go and check out now. And we have a lovely chat with them about how we started and just, well, fangirling about what we do, basically.
Yes. It was a lovely chat with them both. Yeah, check that out as well. I've done quite a few other people's podcasts lately as well. So I'm going bloody podcast mad, yeah. Thank you very much for listening. Next week's episode is, some would say, the complete other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, no one's going to expect what we're releasing next Friday, literally.
Do you know what? Use a competition where you win my admiration. I don't know, because I've got nothing to offer.
Whoa!
If you can guess who next week's podcast guest is before next week, you win my admiration. So, good luck with that, everyone. None of you will ever have my admiration, so don't. You're not going to guess who it is either.
But it's going to be a good one. I'm very excited about it. So be prepared. Click subscribe, and we will see you on Sapnin Podcast next Friday.
Bloody hell. Every Friday. For 115 Fridays.
Every fucking Friday.
I'm sure I'm on a t-shirt every fucking Friday.
Ooh! Right, gotta go. Gotta do some merch.
Yeah. Ta-da!
Sapnin!
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.